Hello everybody, we're back for another Bunty's Boxing Podcast, looking at the big fights this weekend, and there's some belters as well, and a little chat about the latest that's going on in the world of boxing. You well, Steve?
Fantastic, Lee.
Excellent, excellent. We talked last week about George Groves and Carl Froch. He was on ringside, of course, Carl Froch last week, and seemed a little bit undecided whether he wanted to fight or not. And then the IBF get involved. Simple as that. Before we get into the whys and wherefores, of all the controversial decisions that we see, how come this one's been ordered as a rematch?
Because there's a degree of hysteria attached. The same thing happened when Lennox Lewis first fought Evander Holyfield. There was a degree of hysteria. So you've got the people that watched it live on TV, the people that listened to it on radio, the people in the arena, then they all tell two people. Those two people tell two more people. And by the end of the night, by midnight on that Saturday, there were thousands and thousands online talking about the worst decision ever. Now, they didn't all watch the fight. It's become, you speak to people who haven't seen it, and they say, cool, what's going to happen about that fight, Bunty? That ref's got to be sacked, and he's got to be given a rematch. And you say, did you watch it? And they say, no, but I was reading rubbish. Listen, it was not a terrible stoppage. Howard Foster perhaps went in a second early, and he has been hung out to dry by the IBF. I think even George was mildly embarrassed by the way the IBF have talked about Howard Foster, who's going to quit the IBF and continue working with other sanctioning bodies.
More
hysteria has led us to here. Of course, what's happened now, though, but at the same time as Carl Froch was saying, I don't want a rematch, his promoter, Eddie Hearn, was offering George Groves a substantial figure for a rematch, okay, but not as big as it looked like, because George revealed that the deal on the table, the seven-figure deal, was for more than one fight. Okay, so that kind of kills that myth that George refused a million. Okay, and then what also then happened is that the IBF, having ordered the fight, have said, well, we're going to order it, but it's got to be under our rules, and that means the split for any purse bid has to be 85% to the champion, Carl Froch, and 15% to George. Now, for George to make a good few quid out of this, someone's got to come in and bid massively. Someone's got to come in and bid 10 million for it, for George to make the type of money he's looking at. Mm-hmm. That's a big ask, because even if you put this in a 40,000, 50,000, 60,000 seat stadium, even if it does records on the Sky box office, you're still going to really have to go some to make those type of figures. I can see everybody telling the IBF to move away. Carl will look at things and say, hold on a minute, I've got plenty of money for Julio Cesar Chavez fight, plus it's in America, plus I think I'll beat him, plus I think that'll put me in the orbit of the guys that are just about to start generating some real money. And George will go, hold on a minute, the IBF will become vacant, I'll fight someone for that, someone that we've never heard of. Bingo. Then you get the title and you start making money. We're in a business league. Yeah. Should the rematch have been signed? Yes, on about November the 22nd. Should it have been announced? Yes, on about November the 23rd. Will it be announced? I said straight away, I don't think it will happen, and I'm saying it again, I don't think it will happen.
Yeah, it's just from the outsider's point of view, it now looks like Groves is the one who doesn't want it, which is the irony of it all, isn't it? But then again, I suppose if you're using Groves's, the mantra that Groves has used, money shouldn't matter. He should just get back in the ring with Froch. But that's not how it works. We know that's not how it works.
Listen, let me tell you something. When people want fights bad enough, they make a few subtractions. They take a few quid less. Bernard Hopkins famously did it against Felix Trinidad. He famously did it against Oscar De La Hoya, because he realised the scalp, the victory, would actually lead to more money than he really could have demanded. George Groves left that arena with almost 100% support of the fans in attendance and watching on TV. Now it's being cleverly manipulated against him. It's starting to swing back in Carl's favour.
Mm-hmm.
So all in all, every single lawyer and PR firm, and there are plenty of them working on this, they're probably happy because they're making some money. But I don't think either of the boxers are coming out of this looking very good. And I also don't think that the promoter, Eddie Hearn, is coming out of it looking particularly good. This should have all been done behind closed doors. As it is, we're going to have all this stuff taking place in public. As George says, I've had plenty of flirty texts from Eddie. Okay, it's all a bit of a laugh and a joke. It's all a little bit comical. It reminds me a little bit of what's happened at Old Trafford. For 20-odd years, no one knew a single thing about what was going on behind closed doors. Ferguson left, and suddenly the entire world knows everything that's happened, including the tea lady's favourite band. It's quite comical. We need to get back to a degree of privacy, get this fight on, because I tell you one thing, those same people that were telling me, oh, it's a disgrace, they're now telling me, oh, it's a disgrace, they're not fighting. So it's twisting against both fighters. As far as I can see, anyway.
Yeah. And I'm sure, if all things being equal, both of them would probably just have a scrap about it. Let's have a look at...
Oh, of course they would!
Let's have a look at this weekend's fights then, shall we? It's a good bill at the Motorpoint Arena, where we're going to look at Lee Selby and Kendall and Rendell Monroe, and we're going to look at Gavin Rees against Gary Buckland. Then we'll have a look at one of the foreign fighters who's fast becoming a big favourite, Gennady Golovkin. But first of all, let's have a look at Selby versus Rendell Monroe Buncey. Selby's record, 117, lost 1. And six stoppages in those wins. His loss was in only his fifth fight. So, I mean, you can maybe put that one down to experience. He lost on points in a four-rounder, so I'm sure he won't pay too much attention to that one. He's been on a lovely run, hasn't he? This is for the vacant European featherweight title and for the British featherweight title. He's also the holder of the Commonwealth as well when he beat Ryan Walsh. A couple of unanimous decisions recently, but before that he was stopping people willy-nilly for about six fights. What about Rendell Monroe? I mean, he was on the crest of a wave, wasn't he? I say a few years ago. It is about 3 years ago now, isn't it, when he went over to Japan and fought for the super bantamweight world title. Went the distance as well. It was well beaten, but went the distance. Since then, it's been a little bit of an up and down time for him, hasn't it? He's lost to Scott Quigg, of course, in six. In 2012, he was down twice from body shots in the sixth round before it was stopped. Where is Rendell Monroe? Is he a high class opponent now, Buncey, or is that unfair of me?
Well, he's still a high class name. I mean, where Rendell Monroe is, let's not mince our words, he's out of retirement.
Yes.
Which is where he said he was going, I think, once, maybe even twice, certainly one time, maybe even twice or three times. He does pose, obviously, a threat for Lee Selby. I think Selby would be too big, and I think Selby would be too young and too fresh. Saying that, Monroe is not coming off the back of hard fights. If this was immediately after the back-to-back Scott Quigg fights, I'd fancy Selby to walk for him.
Mm-hmm.
Rendell insists he's found his mojo again. He's a little bit, he feels fresher, he feels back to his best. Perhaps he did have too many fights in too short a period. Perhaps they were all a little bit too hard. So perhaps he did leave something behind in each fight and find himself with nothing left in the tank. Perhaps that's the case. Because Rendell Monroe, at his best weight, beats any version of Lee Selby. But this is not Rendell Monroe at his best weight, super bantamweight. This is not Rendell Monroe at his best, which was 2010 when he went out, 2009 and 10 when he went out to Japan, went 12 rounds with Nishioka. This is not the best Rendell Monroe, and we are moving into the best Selby. He's been accused in a couple of fights, three of his last four, on the distance, as you mentioned, of maybe falling asleep. I don't really buy that. I think he's been on a bit of a learning curve, and I think he's having to adjust to guys that don't want to be hit on the chin and fall over. Sometimes happens with guys that have a good run, suddenly get in the ring with someone that doesn't want to get knocked over, and they've forgotten how to box, use their brain, pace it, find the guy. Saying that, I would be surprised. I just think this is a bit of a homecoming for Selby. Bit of pressure on him. I think he's adjusting. I think he fancies it, the old Welsh Mayweather, as we call him, or as people are trying to call him, having trained in Mayweather's gym for a while. I fancy Selby. I fancy him quite big. I fancy he might even come on after six rounds and stop Monroe. So if I was a betting man, I'm looking between about six and seven and eight and nine.
Yeah, the odds for the fight itself, 1-5, Selby, so overwhelming favourite, 28 to 1 the draw, and Monroe is priced up at 100-30. Let's have a look at the individual rounds then, shall we? You're thinking after the sixth, basically.
After six and maybe before 10.
So let's have a look. If we look at the round-by-round betting, at the minute we've just got the individual rounds, but you could pair these together. Basically, you're looking at around 10 to 1 for each of the later rounds, and then it gets towards, in the championship round, you're looking at 12 to 1 for Selby to win in round 10.
Well, it's not that generous. They fancy it. The bookies fancy it as well.
Yeah, Selby in round 11 is 18 to 1, and Selby in the 12th round is 25 to 1. But obviously, you'll get a price for, those grouped rounds, maybe a bit closer to the actual action, you'll get a price. And I mean, Selby, by stoppage, you're looking at around 4 to 7, so you're right. The traders pretty much agree with what you say, Buncey.
All right, well, that's understandable.
Mm.
Okay, let's just got to look at rolling.
Not bad for an accumulator. Not bad for a double
though. That's what I was about to say. That's what I was about to say.
Yeah. Maybe Gavin Rees versus Gary Buckland is where we'll find it. This has got the makings of an absolute belter, this one. The Rock, Gavin Rees. His record shows 37 wins, 18 stoppages. He's lost three times and been stopped twice. Two of those three defeats have come in his last two fights. Of course, one to Adrian Broner, where he lost in five, and no massive surprise there. He lost a majority decision to Anthony Crawler as well in June of last year. That was for the vacant WBO Intercontinental Lightweight title. His previous loss came in 2008 to Andrei Kotelnik, who we've seen a bit of in recent times. He lost on a technical knockout in the 12th round there. Gary Buckland.
He was saved from a savage beating.
Yes, he was indeed. It was a mess, wasn't it?
Too big, was it?
27 wins, 9 stoppages. He's lost three times himself as well, Gary Buckland. Two of those being stoppages. The Dynamo from Wales. Lost his last one out as well. It's to Stephen Smith in August of last year.
Shot.
It was a beautiful shot, wasn't it? Right uppercut.
KO of the year.
Yeah, in the fifth round. Beautiful. His other defeats were to John Murray in 2010 and Ben Murphy on a points decision early-ish in his career. I mean, it looks a cracking derby, this one, doesn't it? Newbridge versus Cardiff. There's not a lot between the two guys, is there? It'll be noisy in there, Buncey, won't it? This is an eliminator for the British lightweight title. The odds, 1-2 Rees, 13-8 Buckland and 20-1 the draw. Could be lively.
I'll tell you what, this has got the night written all over it.
Yeah.
Gavin Rees didn't want the fight. Buckland and Rees have known each other for a million years. And when Gavin Rees was asked about it, he said, no, he's a friend of mine, I don't want to fight him. So Gary Lockett, his trainer and confidant, said, well, actually, he fancied it. So Rees said, okay, I'll fight him then. No problem at all. There's quite a little bit at stake here. It's not quite the end of the line fight for either of them, because whoever loses can continue going on and getting a living. Unless, of course, Rees knocks Buckland out. Now, I don't think that's going to happen. Stephen Smith landed the punch of his life, and Rees is not known for landing shots like that. If Buckland loses on points, that's not a problem. You know, he's up at a new weight. He'll grow into that weight, and lightweight's fairly competitive. I'd put Buckland in with Martin Geffen, the champion, tomorrow. Not even a problem. Gavin Rees at lightweight, well, he's proved his worth. He can go in with anybody. I mean, obviously, short of Adrian Broner. Bear in mind, he had a chase against Broner for a few rounds. So if Rees were to lose on points, it just means he's got to carry on moving around. There's plenty of guys out there. I tell you what, if you want to know the honest truth, Gavin Rees is slick enough to move up to light welterweight.
Mm.
He probably won the British light welterweight title as easy as he'd win the British lightweight title. However, what happens in derbies, local fights, when there's a bit of edge, is both boxers tend to forget what they do best. Now, if Buckland can make Rees forget what he does best, which is be evasive, hit tuck, hit with little shots, little flurries. If Buckland can drag Rees in, and he probably can, then I can see this being really hard, really long, and Buckland winning. However, I think Rees will win this the way he won Prize Fighter a few years ago, with smiling, turning around the back of fighters, touching them on the back of the head, laughing, winking at people. If Rees can stay controlled and relaxed, he's a better boxer. He's a better technical boxer. Plus, he's bigger than Buckland. So my feeling is it's Rees on points, but I wouldn't be at all surprised if it's really tight. Really tight, but Rees on points.
Yeah, Rees on points. You're looking at around again, similar price actually to Selby stoppage 4-7. So that might be your little double 4-7, 4-7 double. And there's other fights to add into that as well.
That's not bad.
It's not too bad at all. That bill, by the way, has got plenty more on it as well. The Sky bill from Cardiff at the Motorpoint Arena. Right. Chris Jenkins fights Christopher Sebbe for the vacant WBC International Light Welterweight title. We haven't got odds on that one at the minute. Eric Ochieng's on the bill against Dale Evans. Got Kerry Hope back out again at middleweight against Paul Moffat. And Anthony Joshua, it's really exciting following his career, but he's very early days. He's, you know, he was actually betting on that one, 100-1 on. I mean, I don't know. They chucked that one in there. You know, I suppose you could stick it in your double just to bump it up a tiny bit. But, you know, 3-0, three stoppages so far, and he's done very little wrong so far. So it's just enjoyable watching a fighter learn his pro trade, isn't it?
And the one thing about Joshua on Saturday night is that Dorian Darch will go to him.
Yeah.
Dorian Darch is the best man he's met so far, but he might end up getting done the quickest because he'll try and win. He'll go to him. That's what makes the Dorian Darches of this world, a nice bit of pluralism there, so dangerous. If Dorian Darch fiddled and ran away and held himself, it would go four rounds or six rounds or whatever he's scheduled for, but he won't.
Yeah,
he'll have a go and he'll get caught on the chair. Makes it entertaining.
Box Nation takes us to Monte Carlo on Saturday night. Buntsy, are they flying you out?
Are we?
You're flying out to Monte Carlo?
Yeah, no.
Osamano Adama is the latest opponent for...
Victim is the word. Victim.
I shouldn't say... I should let you say that. I should be more down the middle. For Gennady Golovkin, who's... as I said, Buntsy, you know, every now and again a fighter comes along who everyone just loves to watch, you know, a foreign fighter. And that's the thing about the boxing game is you tend to have a favourite foreign fighter of the time. You know, I remember, you know, you can remember it was Kelly Pavlik was the man because he was banging people out the way he fought. At the minute, it's Gennady Golovkin, the Kazakh fighter who is based in Germany now. Record of 28 wins, 25 by stoppage, lost none, of course. He's a force of nature, isn't he, at the moment? What about Adama? You know, we know if you want to be... Ghanaians are tough. Teak tough. You know, they take everything
and
you throw at them.
Is a tough Ghanaian
yeah,
as well.
So what do we reckon? 22 wins, 16 by stoppage. He's lost three himself. The losses have all been on decisions, haven't they? So he's never been stopped.
He's on the weight. He's big at the weight. But Golovkin has a way of breaking people down. What's happening here to Golovkin is a bit of a public disgrace, really, because in America, on the world's biggest TV backer of boxing for the last quarter century, he had the third highest viewing figures last year on American TV. And yet this fight, they can't find a space for. He's going live to over 100 countries in the world, but not in America, because the company couldn't get their necessary equipment inside the tiny casino. It's a casino that holds about 700 people or 900 people. So they decided not to screen this fight, this giant company, which is amazing. Also, coincidentally, they have some of the other top middleweights in the world, and it would kind of screw things up if this kid who's just learning English, who never smiles, keeps knocking people out. That's not really what you want. So there's a bit of a conspiracy going on, quite rightly. Golovkin's being frozen out. As I've been saying, he's unloved. No one loves him.
Apart from the fans.
Said, no, I love him. And I've said, well, that's fine. You might love him, but, you know, no disrespect. You're a plasterer from Walthamstow. You're not going to be able to put him on American TV. You know, he is being shafted here, okay?
Right.
And the danger is that he kind of gets bored, that he's not getting the fight, that he's treading. I think this is the 11th world title fight. Or maybe even his 12th, including interims. He will get to Adama, don't worry about that. But he may not look brilliant doing it. He will get to him, and he will stop him, and I think he'll stop him, believe it or not, I think he'll stop him earlier, sooner rather than later, because the Ghanaian is tough, and he's also brave, and if you put tough and brave together when you're overmatched, it equals stupid. It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
You know, there's a little bit of alchemy that goes into a fight. He's probably a really smart guy. But as soon as he gets in here, the bravery takes over. The toughness takes over. The brain gets left in the changing room and he gets involved. I fancy Golovkin before six rounds. We've got a few quid.
Well, I mean, you know, you're looking at around... the even money mark for rounds 1 to 6, which it's not a bad bet, is it, considering his record? You know, and it looks a bit short because you're thinking even money, but, you know, bearing in mind he's 50-1 on to win the fight, and you're getting half the rounds there, Buntsy. That's not bad. I don't think that's the worst bet in the world. I mean, if you went 1 to 3 would be asking him a bit much. I mean, when you start looking at like the rounds between one and three rounds, you're looking at a price getting up towards like the 7-2 mark. But that's asking a bit much against this guy, isn't it? He should be able to last himself out for three rounds, I guess. If you had a tenner on, if we say 4-7, let's just chuck Anthony Joshua in there at 1-100 and even money for Golovkin in rounds 1-6. You're looking at a 4-1 bet there, so 50 quid back for your tenner. And that was Selby by stoppage, Reese on decision, Anthony Joshua just to win, and Golovkin in rounds 1-6 stoppage. Not bad that, Buntsy, is it? For a tenner, 50 quid back?
We're performing a public service.
If you do that and you get it back, you can buy 5 months of Box Nation.
bingo.
Oh, I mean, what could be better? It's all wrapped up. Buncey, thank you very much for your time.
Lee, my pleasure.
We'll speak again in February. And in the meantime, if you're having a bet on any of the boxing this weekend, then very best of luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.